We'll do it live.
Okay.
Well, no. We'll do it live!
Please remain silent while I am speaking. We have a lot to get through.
Put that cigarette out.
You know that I'm the cream of the crop.
Oh my God, he's gonna puke!
He's fat!
You three guys want a war tonight? You got one!
To be the man, you gotta beat the man, and I'm saying, woo, right here!
Good evening, everybody. You are listening to the smooth sounds of the MBR Raw Post Show here on Mega Powers Radio. We certainly thank y'all for tuning in. I will be your sounds in your ears for this evening, Mike Payton. Joining me this evening will be a fantastic group of characters. First, let me introduce the leader of Spark Out Moment, Anthony Mango.
Hey, guys. How you doing this evening?
Also with me is the lead host of Unanimous Decision MMA over on our fellow friends over on Dream Elite Radio. Steven, how you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. Thank you for having me on.
And making a long-awaited return. And I'm sure it's going to be just as exciting as another long-awaited return we had this evening. Mr. Paul Hibbert, how you doing, Paul?
Hi there, guys. I'm doing great. I can't wait to talk about Batista's sweaty balls.
And also with us, the Bounce House Master himself, Mr. Drew White.
Hi.
Now, you may be wondering why I'm talking so underwhelmingly. It's because this is just about how this Raw has left me feeling. There was truly nothing too extraordinary, and I don't know what to be excited about tonight.
I thought we were supposed to be Triple H or something.
Okay, I gotta stop doing this because the chat room is starting to get annoying. People are leaving. They don't want me to talk like this. So I apologize, folks. We'll talk normal now. Thank you for listening in to the NPR Raw Post Show here on Mega Powers Radio. Let's start talking about the show tonight, guys. Seriously, tonight we had a big return for Batista. I guess you could say returning to Raw. I think it was a 4-year absence. We had the rare appearance of Brock Lesnar as well, and some cool things that happened. So let's just start from the beginning and run it down. First, we had from the very beginning of the show a package celebrating Martin Luther King Day, a truly classy move on behalf of the WWE. So, you know, good on them, I guess. After we have that, we come into the cold opening with Triple H and Stephanie inside the ring. Triple H says he's prepared to welcome about a former Evolution member. However, before he does that, he's interrupted by someone who is a former Evolution member, Randy Orton. Stephanie is quick to remind Orton that he lost to Kofi Kingston last week, but even worse, he did his heinous attack on John Cena's father. Triple H also told Orton that if he continues down this path, then he will be doing it alone. Perfect cue for Batista to come down. And Batista, not looking too manly, I gotta say. He appeared in great shape, but the clothes he was wearing these super, super tight skinny jeans, this red and white Guido jacket. I don't know. I wasn't feeling it. And he was only there for about 20 seconds. He kisses the ring, says he's going to be coming for Randy Orton's title, and drops the mic and leaves. Nothing really went down there. So I don't know. I didn't get too excited about this beginning intro. It's like, oh, okay, Batista's back, I suppose. He had some more stuff that went down later on, but we'll get to that. I guess we're going to do this chronologically. Tony, for our first segment, how was Batista's return?
Just as you said, thoroughly underwhelming. And I don't know if it was just because they had that whole spot with Orton ahead of time where they accomplished absolutely nothing than what they've been doing the past few weeks, or if I really, at the bottom of the line, just didn't care a whole lot. But I think it's more so the former. If they would have just had Batista come out at the beginning of the show, he probably would have gotten a much bigger pop than what he did actually get tonight, because having Triple H do the whole, like, by the way, remember, Batista's coming out tonight, and Orton being like, hey, I'm still kind of a part of this, and I'm wasting, like, 5 minutes, and then Batista just flat out coming out with no real, like, fanfare or anything. Real boring. And then nothing really happened. I mean, they had their little bit of a promo, and, you know, Batista did the typical crap where he says, like, I'm going to win the title, I'm going to win the Royal Rumble, blah, blah, blah. We already know that other kind of stuff. So if he would have came out of the gate with something, I don't really know, something impactful in any way, I think it would have been better.
Yeah, and I think it was just too early. Matter of fact, I have friends who usually join me at my home for Raw, and neither of them were here to see him come out because they had it right at the top of the beginning of the show. I thought they were going to save it for the top of the 10 o'clock hour. That's their highest rated point in the show, and that's usually when they put something like this, but they decided to kick the show off, and man, just that combined with all these other factors, I think has made this not that exciting. Steven, are you in agreement with this, or do you think this was an awesome event that's going to be replayed in the years to come?
As far as Raw as a whole, I actually enjoyed the show. I thought it did a good job of promoting the Royal Rumble. This particular segment did not deliver the way it should have. And that was because not so much the placement of it, but the delivery and having Orton come out at the start of it. I understand they're trying to build tension between him and Batista, having a potential match that may or may not happen, but it was just his long rant with Triple H at the start of it. It's kind of killed the momentum that the fans had when Batista was first announced as going to be coming out. I think they should have had Batista come out as soon as Triple H announced it, then maybe have Orton cut him off. They have a little stare down and Batista threatens him, but overall, I just think it was pretty underwhelming compared to what should have been. I think Dave did what he should, where he sees a face, he's a badass, he said a few words right to the point and left, but it was just way too drawn out at the beginning.
Paul, you got anything you want to say about Batista's skinny jeans?
I think he better call his fashion person, because I don't know what they were thinking. The jeans, I'll disagree with. The windbreaker, I can forgive. Whatever. It was basic Batista chic, whatever he wants to wear.
He still had the Jersey Shore thing going on. It's kind of like right before he left, he was rocking the pop collar polo shirts.
Well, he is from Washington, D.C., and they have close relations. So, I mean, a little bit of Jersey could have rubbed off on him. It's a Jersey thing, whatever. I have to agree with Peyton and Mango. Raw was a little more underwhelming than I wanted it to be. Like, they hyped it up, the return of Batista, January 20th, whatever. But I will agree with Steven. I did enjoy the show. This is your classic R before R. It's the Raw before the Rumble. And they're just going to hype the Rumble more. They're going to hype whatever big matches they have. As far as the Rumble's concerned, I think that this is going to be one of the more impressive Rumbles that we have seen in a long time. Because let's not forget, we have The Shield. We have two members of the Wyatt family. We have a bunch of tag team division people. And the tag team division is blowing up right now. They're doing a good job. They honestly are. And I thought, you know, yeah, they're going to hype up everything tonight. And then Royal Rumble is where it's all going to break down. The John Cena, I'm not going to give it away because you want to go chronologically. We'll talk about it at the end, but whatever.
Oh, yes.
But I thought they did a really good job overall. I mean, and the WWE Network's about to drop. Things have not been this big for WWE in a long time. I mean,
that's what Stephanie said.
Give it a
Drew, how'd you feel about our initial return for Batista tonight?
I was excited, and then I saw he was going with the bald Batista look, and I was like, damn it. You know, you said he was only in there for 20 seconds, but I could recall, I swear to God, he was in there for like 10 minutes because he was going from post to post, just going, and then that took forever. But, you know, once he got done with all that, he got to the point.
To the point real quick.
He got to the point, yes. So it's, I don't know. It felt like weak to an extent. Maybe it was just because of the boring segment before with Orton and Triple H. I thought Triple H did fine, but Orton's just Orton now, and it's kind of poopy nowadays. And, you know, I wish
poopy.
That... Yeah, poopy.
Was that some kind of dig against Orton? Because that was funny.
No.
I feel like the introduction to it, just like my introduction, kind of like ruined the tone.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, yep, we're going to go real slow and monotone and boring.
Yeah, you know, and about the Batista pants, you know, I was just thinking the entire time, I was like, what if he just, like, poops right now everywhere? You know.
What are you taking my Del Rio joke for?
Nah, man.
I was going to talk about Del Rio because Del Rio wore the tighty whities tonight.
You did? Oh. That showed how much I paid attention to Raw tonight. Yeah, no.
Yeah, you're normally the one that was looking at crotches and asses throughout the show.
No, that's Paul, idiot. I look at Big E's boobies, but I do not recall Big E being on. No, he was on tonight. My bad, I lied. But yeah, it was just a bad beginning. No, it wasn't a bad beginning. It was just a below average beginning to what turned out to be just an episode of Raw.
Yeah, indeed. Well, let's talk about our first match that we had. We had the three members of the Shield going against Cody Rhodes, Goldust, and Big E Langston. What I think was actually an excellent match. Of course, he seemed to always get those out of the Shield. What actually surprised me, though, Seth Rollins, he impressed me. Him getting beat up for the first bit, he actually was taking a lot of cool bumps for being thrown around out all around the ring. He debuted what I'm guessing is a new finisher for him. At least I've never seen him use it, where he leaps up in the air and just kind of stomps a person's face into the ring. Really nasty looking move. And for the first time, I'm going to give a compliment out to Seth Rollins. Hey, good job.
He's used that plenty of times. He just hasn't used it as a finisher in the past.
Okay. Well, thanks for that.
He still picked up the win.
Paul, you want to say a few words in defense?
I am loving the Shield right now. They've got some great talent in there. Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns are going to go far. Roman Reigns definitely a future WWE champion, whatever they're going to call it in the future. I don't give a shit what they call it. It's the main belt now, so thank God for that. Kudos to the Shield. Kudos to Cody Rhodes and Goldust. Goldust never looking better in his career. Big E Langston, another future WWE champion. I hope, because he does a good job. Despite his camel toe sometimes, he does a good job in the ring.
Oh, God, here we go.
What? We all noticed it. Why ignore it? Just be fine with your sexuality and leave me alone.
I notice his boobs more than
Can we stop talking about that? Can we just drop the subject of Big E's whatever altogether? Can Big E just go away now? Like, I don't even want Big E to be a wrestler anymore after all this. Way to ruin Big E for me, guys.
So is he like your Del Rio now?
Yeah, everything's ass backwards. I like Del Rio tonight, and Big E, I can't take him anymore. Gotta go.
But of all the times to just let Big E on Martin Luther King Day. Racist.
But it has nothing to do with that, okay?
You're racist.
He kind of looked like Martin Luther
King. He's not the only black guy, okay? That's Mark Henry.
Can I point out the white British guy brought out the racist card and not me? Thank God.
It's gracious. All right, Tony, what did you think about this match tonight?
I was pretty underwhelmed with almost every match tonight, and that's not to say that they were awful or anything, but I really just sort of expected something better. And none of the matches, except for maybe one of them that we'll talk about later on, just they were all kind of like boring to me. I mean, I just wasn't really that thrilled. I love the Shield and Cody Rhodes and like pretty much everybody that's wrestled tonight. I'm a fan of, but even somebody like the Shield, they just weren't able to really pull it out tonight. I was pretty bored.
Tony, you're sounding a little muffled there. I don't know if you're if you got a pillow on your face or something.
No, I have a cold.
Okay. we got Steven. Why don't you take over there?
As far as this match goes, I thought it was pretty solid, nothing special. As you were complimenting Seth Rollins, I found myself complimenting Roman Reigns. It just seems like he develops each week. Just a lot of his selling's gotten better, I've noticed. The expressions he uses, like after, what move it was? The disaster kick. He sold that so awesomely. As far as Seth Rollins goes, the future of homeless championship wrestling is looking bright.
HCW?
Actually, technically homeless wrestling. Isn't that TNA right now?
Yeah, indeed.
Dude, I don't give him too long. I don't give him too long.
I would actually say the spot of the match came from Roman Reigns when Cody Rhodes was going for the disaster kick, but Roman Reigns instead leapt up and hit the Superman punch. That was awesome.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Really, you guys aren't fucking excited about that? That was fucking amazing.
Amazing.
The camera didn't switch to it very well. That's why it didn't.
The camera didn't switch to it. That was fucking awesome.
I do like, though, when they were recapping it, and I don't remember who it was. I think it was JBL. It was really touting it up as like, oh, my God, did you see this? Let's go back and look at it again. And they did the little replay. It shows him do the Superman punch. And then they kept the replay going on afterward, and it ends up with Goldust like beating the shit out of Roman Reigns after right after that
I will say this about Roman Reigns. He can sell, but when he does the spear, you can tell when it's a spear and when it's just him trying to sell a spear. Because last week, he barely got any momentum doing that spear to win the match. It was just him thrusting his shoulder and then lifting his legs in the air. There was no momentum behind that. I didn't buy that at all.
I thought his spear definitely looked better last week than this week. I thought this week it was, I don't know. I don't. What did he do on Big E? Maybe he wasn't able to make Big E fly as much.
He didn't even come off the ropes, though. He just kind of stood there and just speared him.
You got to shake it up once in a while.
Yeah.
Drew, I didn't think we got to you.
Nope. I liked the match. I thought it was pretty good for what it was. And unlike you guys who are complimenting an individual, I'll just go ahead and compliment everyone. So Big E gets a compliment. Roman Reigns gets a compliment. Seth Rollins gets a compliment. Everybody gets a compliment.
What are you, Oprah?
Exactly.
You get a car!
Also, you know, some of you guys like are not the big Seth Rollins fans, you know. You know, Yeah, this is just a Seth Rollins I'm used to seeing. I'm not the biggest fan of him, but I do like what he does in the ring. So I thought that this was just another solid outing by Seth Rollins more than anything else. So, yep.
Yeah, Seth Rollins, he might not be on his ass after the Shield breaks up.
Yeah, good tag team champ someday. I think he's a good tag team type of guy. And maybe someday they'll hand him like a mid-card belt. You know, that I do see that in his future. I don't know about ever being a heavyweight champion now that they got the one belt system for the foreseeable future. But I think he can definitely be good with helping other talent getting over down the line.
I believe it was during this match that we also learned about the Cody Rhodes and Goldust are going to be going against the Shield. Oh, not to be the Shield, the New Age Outlaws at the Royal Rumble pre-show.
Interesting.
No one's excited for this?
I'm pretty excited for that. I like the New Age Outlaws. They're one of my favorite tag teams of all time. So having them come back and get a title shot instead of just throwing some random team out there, why not?
I want them to win the belts.
I'm actually, yeah, I kind of am rooting for them too.
So Daniel Bryan comes out for our next segment to address the crowd. He says that he had a plan all along with the Wyatts. It was a ruse. It was a sham. It was, you know the deal. He says that the whole time was just to get a moment alone with Bray Wyatt, and of course that came last week while they were inside the steel cage. Bray Wyatt appears on the screen. He says that Daniel Bryan was a traitor, and that's the worst thing that someone can do in the world that he's from. And that pretty much leads us on to where we get a match announced for the Royal Rumble between Daniel Bryan and Bray Wyatt, and that Luke Harper and Eric Rowan are official entrants in the Rumble. Does this mean Daniel Bryan's not even in the Rumble?
From what I know, Daniel Bryan's been confirmed for the Rumble now. At least Scoops is reporting that he's okay to go.
Thank God.
He's saying he's going to be in the singles match. Does that mean he's not going to be in the Rumble match is what I'm saying?
I hope he's in the Rumble match. I mean, I'd be fucking disappointed if he wasn't.
It'd be a waste of talent if he wasn't.
You know what? If he's going to lose, though, maybe it's okay. If he wasn't going to win the Rumble, maybe it's okay because then we don't have to see him get eliminated. But I want to see him in. I don't want to see him win it.
Have you guys talked about your Rumble picks? Is that a special show you guys are going to do or...
Oh, funny you say that. I believe this Friday's edition of Smark Out Moments Smack Talk podcast is going to be talking about our Royal Rumble prediction.
Cheap plug.
All right. Cheap plug. Love
that's
it.
That's an expensive plug. Cost me a lot of money to get that out there.
Indeed. Checks in the mail, I hope.
We appreciate it, Mango.
So we get a really short matchup between Fandango and Xavier Woods. Happy to see Fandango not only has his pyro, but also got pretty much a squash match. I mean, he put down Xavier Woods really quick. We had R-Truth on commentary during this match, and I think he pretty much undid all the work that Martin Luther King had accomplished. Fandango ends up winning with a flying leg drop. Short and sweet. Not bad. Cool to see Fandango still getting a little bit of love. Steven, Fandango still got a little bit of momentum going for him.
It'll probably fizzle out by next week, but I was all for him winning. I'm not a big fan of Xavier Woods. I don't see the appeal in him. I really want our troop to split from him and go solo. But here's what it is. It wasn't a bad match for a squash match. Glad Fandango won if I had to pick one of the two.
Now, Tony, how do you feel about Fandango getting a little bit of love? Xavier Woods looking like a fool.
I like Xavier and I like Fandango, but I didn't like this match because of the fact that it was such a squash. And that's a shame. If they would have just let them go out for a couple more minutes, I think it would have been a lot better.
Paul?
Xavier Woods definitely got the talent to make a name for himself. And this would have been a good match to do it against Fandango, who's also very athletic and can pretty much run the ring as he sees fit. As far as I've seen, he's really good inside the ring. What I want to know is why aren't Awesome Truth in the tag team division? Because I think they would just rock it down there. It's another Show Miz. It's another Jericho. Come on. Just put Awesome Truth in there and let's wrap this tag team division up already.
It's funny that you mentioned that because I was actually talking about that in a chat earlier today, that I think if you have our troops split from or as Xavier Woods, it's a perfect time to put the Miz and him together and actually do something with them.
Because what is R-Truth doing now? Nothing. Basically nothing. What is Miz doing right now? He's doing a couple episodes of Miz TV. He's doing commentary on Main Event. Nothing. Put them together. They were great together.
Actually, where is the Miz? Does anyone know?
He's marrying Maurice in a couple of weeks.
He's probably visiting his parents or something.
His ugly-ass dad.
Oh, wow, that was a little unnecessary.
I'm sorry.
Drew, are you happy for Fandango?
Sure. I'm happy whenever Fandango wins, but I do like Xavier Woods. I was kind of disappointed that they gave him this squash match type of thing, but I guess they don't really see much in the guy.
Well, the guy hasn't even wrestled a match in, what, a month?
Yeah, it's
since
been a,
he
it's
had
been
that whole
while.
Thing where he stole Brodus Clay's gimmick.
Yeah, and Now we don't even see Brodus Clay around anymore. So
Main Event Playa is.
Yeah, we only save him
wrestling
for the
main event. That's where he's wrestling.
Yeah, so I don't know. I'm glad trying to go Fandango one, but I kind of want to see what they want to do with Xavier Woods, especially squash matches, because he did show some talent in the ring tonight with the Hurricanrana or two. So, you know, I really want to see if they could do something with this guy instead of just
a hair versus hair match where he loses.
Yeah, instead of, you know.
We have Stephanie McMahon in a backstage segment telling Kane that he must apologize to CM Punk. Kane comes out to the ring, calls CM Punk out. He goes to apologize. CM Punk does the whole thing where he makes him apologize again. CM Punk always got to be such an asshole. He can't just accept the apology. He's got to antagonize Kane more and more until eventually they end up in a little bit of a brawl. Brad Maddox ends up being the one to interrupt, telling Punk that he must face one of the New Age Outlaws. They come out, they settle it via rock, paper, scissors, who it's going to be, and of course Billy Gunn wins. He doesn't lose, as Jerry Lawler apparently doesn't know the rules of rock, paper, scissors. We have Billy Gunn versus CM Punk in a match. Road Dogg over on commentary. This was fine. I can't complain too much about it. Punk ends up keeping attacking Road Dogg at various points in the match. He eventually gets the win. However, Kane comes out and tells Punk that he may have won tonight, but he's going to have a hard time winning at the Royal Rumble because he is going to be the number one entrant. I got to say, I didn't think CM Punk had a very good chance before, but now I think he's got no chance in hell. Yeah, I went there.
Fuck, that's what you got.
Steven, how about you, man? What do you think about this whole situation that went down tonight?
I'm guessing they are leading to a CM Punk versus Triple H match. It's the only logical match that could come out of this. So maybe CM Punk makes it to the end and gets fucked over by the authority. I actually enjoyed the promo work between Kane and CM Punk. two guys that are pretty good on the stick. It was one of the better promos of tonight. Overall, I don't mind as long as it's contributing to the Royal Rumble. It's very rare that they hype these pay-per-views now, so it was nice seeing something, a lot of promos tonight contributing towards it. So, yeah, cool.
Drew, CM Punk stand a chance being number one?
None, like 0.01 chance of winning. I'm kind of like you. I don't really give him a chance now. I think it's just too much like the Authority, the Batista return, and some other things are kind of in the way of him even having a remote shot at winning this now. But the one thing I've noticed from this segment is that they have too many figures in charge in the back now, and it's starting to get obnoxious. They need to get rid of Braddock and Kane and everything else, because I don't know. I just that was just bothering me tonight so much.
What's the hierarchy exactly? Is Kane above Brad Maddox?
No, Vicky Guerrero is above them.
No, I don't think
where does
so.
Teddy Long fall in all this?
He's a tag team counselor.
Guys, this is exactly like the Attitude Era. Where was Jerry Briscoe? Where was the hierarchy in that, the whole corporate thing? I mean, we all knew McMahon.
Yeah, that was totally different. They were just lackeys.
But they're trying to emulate the same ideals, you know, the working man versus the boss, you know, the authority. It's an archetype. We've seen this before.
Steven, were you happy to see Billy Gunn in a singles match?
Actually, I was until he took his shirt off. it wasn't a bad match. I enjoyed it. Even, you know what, this match could have sucked and I still would have enjoyed it. I'm just a mark for the New Age Outlaws, so it is what it is. Fun match. Glad CM Punk won. Interesting to see where it goes.
I'm going to be the only believer in this group and say that CM Punk wins the whole thing.
Tony might back you up. Tony, what are your thoughts on that?
I still kind of think that CM Punk is going to win it. I have a couple reasons why. I've flown over it a bunch of different times before. A lot of it hasn't changed. The number one spot makes me a little bit in doubt of it, but at the same time, another voice in my head is going, when's the last time we had that? 2004. That was 10 years ago. And
That wasn't Ray, was it? Because he was...
No, he was number two,
yeah.
Yeah, so the last time we had a number one spot was Chris Benoit.
Okay.
Technically, from what they were showing tonight, there's only been one winner at number one, and that was Shawn Michaels.
Well, that's another thing that comes into play, is they only show Shawn Michaels, and if they gave another person who's a number one spot that victory, from then on they could say CM Punk and Shawn Michaels, and then kind of ignore the other guy. Like,
but they still say that the number one and the number 30 has produced the same amount of winners, and we all know that the number 30 has produced two winners.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know why they try to cover it up. It's ridiculous.
One of the main reasons I think that Punk is still going to win is because they keep building him up as the person that is like fighting against the odds. How many other people really are in a spot to do that? You've got to look at the main event caliber people this year that could challenge for a world heavyweight title, and there's really only about five names maximum, and some of them haven't even been announced yet. Daniel Bryan is still not announced for the Royal Rumble. Brock Lesnar isn't. Big Show isn't. Big Show's really not even in that spot in the first place. It really only comes down to if Daniel Bryan's in it, he has a chance, and if not, Batista and CM Punk. And I don't know, I just don't believe that they're going to have Batista come in like this and then be that main event spot. I think he's going to get another match, so it has to go to Punk.
Exactly. I think they brought Batista back. He's got a good contract with WWE. They're going to give him a world title shot no matter what. I think CM Punk versus Batista at WrestleMania number 30, I mean, you blow the roof off. Two of the best athletes in the business wrestling as hard as they can in that ring. I mean, I think that would be a show to see.
CM Punk versus Batista?
Yeah, CM Punk wins the Royal Rumble. Batista gets a world title shot somewhere down the line, Elimination Chamber, whatever. He wins it. CM Punk versus Batista, I think that'd be great.
I got to say, I never heard that one proposed before, and I don't think I'd be completely against it.
You know, after out of all the things that people have been throwing out as like that WWE championship shot so far, that's the one I'd feel like could be the most intriguing to see because I haven't really seen that matchup yet. I've pretty much seen everything else, so I think if I wanted to see something new, I'd rather see that over anything else.
I've got an issue with taking the title off Orton though at this point. They've built up such a title run with him at this point that I feel it'd only be fitting if he lost it at Mania. This whole face of the company shit, I think I just don't think it makes sense to take the title off him before Mania.
But then for the face of the company, you have it as Orton versus Punk. Like, are people really going to get behind a battle of CM Punk vying to be the face of the company?
I think it's either going to be CM Punk versus Batista, or they're going to do the whole big guy versus big guy and do Batista who wins the Royal Rumble, and then John Cena who takes the title off of Orton at WrestleMania. I think that's maybe two very logical places you could go.
Well, there's a lot to propose about this. We'll be talking more about the Royal Rumble come this Friday for Smart Out Moment Smack Talk podcast. We're going to open up the phone lines here on the Raw Post Show on Mega Powers Radio. Just want to let everyone know, if you want to join the conversation, you can do so by dialing from your telephone device, area code 760-512-7247. That's area code 760-512-7247. You can also join us via Skype by pressing the little Skype icon on the broadcast page at megapowersradio.com. When we have our first caller on the line already, they've been waiting patiently, so let's bring him in on here. Caller from the 412 area code, our good friend JD from Pittsburgh. What's shaking, JD?
Hey guys, how's it going this Monday?
Absolutely tremendous, man. I mean, we're all in good moods, I think. We're not necessarily too excited about the events of tonight's Raw, but and we're not too down on it exactly either. But how's it left you feeling?
Well, I'll tell you what, though. I'll be at the pay-per-view on Sunday, and it's going to be very interesting to see what the crowd's going to be like in Pittsburgh, let me tell you. And let me just say, before I get into my thoughts of Raw, you guys got to start including me in your panel. I can give you my thoughts, I mean, tenfold before I can even talk to you guys on the air. I mean, I'd like to join your panel if I could as a member of the team.
Oh, man.
I never miss
her. You are long-winded, JD. I don't know if I could even control you if you were on here. We like getting your insight, but holy crap, man. Like, when you get going, you're on a roll, man. You should be like a wrestling manager with how you could keep going.
Well, I'm going to give it a shot if you guys have something open next Monday. Maybe you guys can maybe squeeze me in, maybe. You talk about The Miz, though. I mean, they're going to be in Raw next Monday in Cleveland. We'll probably see The Miz return then. But, no, talking about the Raw show tonight for the go-home show Sunday, I mean, it wasn't a bad show, but it wasn't a great show, let's just say. I mean, obviously, we saw Batista coming out looking metrosexual at the start of the show, however. And like you said,
the perfect words. The perfect words, JD.
I figured that'd be great. Yes. But like you said earlier, though, I think they should have saved his return for 10 o'clock. I mean, I think they did the return way too soon. I mean, the only thing they did, however, in that time, if you remember, was the whole Brock show, Big Show, Brock, Paul Heyman thing, and that's when Big Show made fun of Paul Heyman's voice. I mean, it was an okay show. I mean, the first match, like you said, was a good match. I mean, you had a pretty good match to start out with the Shield against the Rhodes Boys. And, of course, I'm trying to think, who was their third partner? Help me here.
Biggie,
that's it, yeah. And like you said, the Shield just continue to be amazing week after week. I mean, that Superman punch, every time I see, Reigns in the ring, he reminds me of Zod, however, not Zod. He reminds me of, what's his name? Non from Superman 2. I mean, he's got that non-monster ability. He really does. And Rollins is terrific. Ambrose just reminds me a little of the young Terry Funk, like I said. He's got the cockiness. He's got the arrogance. And the thing is, though, he has not lost that U.S. title. I'm surprised no one's challenged him for that U.S. title. And you talk about another belt that's been not discussed lately, and that's the Divas belt. However, I'm surprised they didn't announce a Divas match. I mean, we might see that happen on Sunday as a bonus attraction. You never know. I'm going to have three Hall of Famers there at the panel. You probably saw that with Shawn, Flair, and Hacksaw coming in on Sunday night in Pittsburgh. But I will be at that show. And like I said, I mean, right now, I would have to say you have to give Punk this win on Sunday. You really have to.
Oh, yeah.
But I am on the Punk bandwagon. I think Punk's going to win, however. And what they should do for the Brock Big Show fight, however, turn it into a Pittsburgh no DQ, no holds barred street fight. Anything goes. And they can go all over the arena, outside, back in the locker room, however, up in the concession stand, in the restroom. It doesn't really matter. It's going to be a physical brawl, no doubt about it. I think that might be the match of the night by far, in my opinion. And as far as the Outlaws go, like you said earlier, I mean, I'm really surprised, however, the Outlaws are back, but you know what? How much longer are they going to be back? Are they going to continue to stay on until WrestleMania? I mean, it just seemed like tonight when you watched Punk and Billy Gunn fight, Billy Gunn was winded most of that match. He just got looked like he got blown up big time.
He's an old man.
But he did. But like I said, all in all, it should be a very good show Sunday. And like I said, I will be there. And like I said, I am going with Punk as my pick. But if there is a wild card that could surprise you, I mean, I like to see Rob Van Dam do it, but I don't think it's going to happen. I think Punk's going to be surviving. And the shortest guy that could be in the Rumble, maybe, it could be Xavier Woods, possibly, if he is in the Rumble itself. I could see him breaking Santino or the Warlord's record of maybe less than half a second, or if that. But it'll be interesting to see. But like I said, if you guys can give me as your extra member panel with my Raw thoughts starting next Monday in Cleveland, I'll be glad to take it.
Oh, we could probably do that for 1 week. We'll bring you on. We'll have a little bit of fun. We'll have special panel JD. So why don't you give us your high point, low point for tonight's Raw?
High point definitely was the opening match, no question about it. I mean, five of those six guys, I mean, Big E's getting better, no doubt about it. But the Rhodes boys just continue to impress me week in and week out. I mean, they show why they were the MVPs last year. In the last 6 months, the Shield looking better than ever. I mean, they're clicking at the right time. The low point, I'm going to go with the Divas affair, mind you. I mean, it really just continues to be bland and boring. And now you got AJ apparently, I mean, feuding with the Funkadactyls. And now Tamina's not upset, pretty pissed off with AJ after what happened earlier in the night with the cake incident. I think you're going to see that happen as a breakup down the road sometime. So I would say that was the low point of the night. And also, I would say the Xavier Woods match with Fandango. I mean, I am not a fan of this guy. I have never been a fan of this guy. This guy is a joke and just a total jackass. And Fandango, he's a tool in itself.
Oh, so much depression and hate for Fandango. I'm happy for him. He still gets a little bit of momentum. But anyway, JD, hope you have a good time at Royal Rumble, man. Sounds like it's going to be a blast. I was lucky enough to attend the Royal Rumble in 2008, and just the excitement going on during that match. You never know what's going to happen. It's always an exciting thing to be there.
Oh, it will be a fun time in Pittsburgh, no doubt about it. And like I said, this is the first of two shows I'll be at. I mean, I'm going to be attending the next show, obviously, after this, of course, in April. And I will be calling you when I'm in April in New Orleans. That's going to be a fun time being down there at the Superdome. I'm looking forward to that more than anything.
I bet, man. I was at WrestleMania last year. Unfortunately, that was not as exciting.
Yeah, but this year I think this year they got something cooking. At least, I mean, the one thing is, though, they didn't announce the Hall of Fame tonight. How I guess they decided to take the week off. I think they're going to start building that up, and I think next week you might see the second member going, if they decide to go that way. And if they do, I would not be surprised if it's Jake the Snake Roberts, maybe.
Hopefully, man. And, of course, we're always going to be pulling for Macho Man as well.
Yeah, but I think with Randy, however, I mean, you heard that whole thing with Lanny Poffo blaming Vince for Randy's death, and just, I mean, if they can just put their ego aside for one night, it'd be great to see that. Another guy I'd like to see go in would be Owen Hart, and they've been talking about that for a while now with Owen Hart going in. He should go in, you know?
Yeah. Maybe you can't do too many dead guys in the same year, though. You gotta
space it out. I'm not saying you
can't.
You're right. But I think in time you will see him. I mean, hopefully someday you'll see him and maybe Brian Pillman go in, maybe. I'd like to see Brian Pillman go in, too.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. Pillman needs to go in. He does.
Yep.
Yeah, one thing at a time. But anyway, JD, appreciate you calling in. Once again, man, have a blast at the Royal Rumble. Have a good night, dude.
Thanks, guys. I'll talk to you next Monday night.
See you, man.
And once again, folks, if you want to call in, you can do so. Area code 760-512-7247 or press the little Skype icon on the broadcast page at megapowersradio.com. Getting back to the show, we had a really, once again, I'll use the word classy tribute video to Mae Young, who unfortunately passed away this week. She was taken off life support the previous week, but nothing was confirmed about her status with that. She did pass on, and we talked about this a lot. This on SmackDown, it's a sad thing. The video they showed was really awesome. They played a lot of the moments I think people most remember her for when she came on in the late '90s. Her time with Mark Henry, being powerbombed off the stage into a table, all the time showing off her puppies, and all the other crazy little things she's done over the years. She's definitely going to be missed. I always enjoyed her having ground, and it was always fun to imagine all the times she talked about she was going to come out on her 100th birthday and wrestle Stephanie McMahon. unfortunately, we're not going to get to see that. But Mae Young, you definitely left a lot of wonderful memories, and I think this is awesome that WWE put this together. Well deserved. Anybody want to add to that?
Video package. That's all I'm going to say. It was very good, and it was very, very good. And not much I'll add to that.
I hope her hand is happy and living a good life because he had a great mom. Mae Young, one of the best in the biz, one of the first female wrestlers to come out and show that women are tough too. I mean, what can you say? Hats off to a classy lady.
Indeed. Now, this next segment will blow your freaking socks off, at least our opinions of it will. We had Rey Mysterio Jr. against Alberto Del Rio. Hold on. Sit down, folks, because I don't think you're prepared for what I'm about to say.
Wait, has this match happened before?
Well, yes, this match has happened many times before, but I don't know if I've ever said this about it. It was actually a pretty damn good match.
There we go.
I was entertained the whole time. There was a lot of cool back and forth going on in this. It was really fast paced. Rey Mysterio just kept it going, and he did this really cool backflip on the outside of the ring at some point. It was just at a great pace. Both of these guys brought their A game to this. It ended up finishing with Alberto Del Rio getting the cross arm breaker on Rey Mysterio, making him tap out. And then it only got better because just as Alberto Del Rio was going to celebrate, Batista's music hits, who comes out and attacks Del Rio himself, hits the spine buster, and, well, that was the segment. And honestly, it was all entertaining. Steven?
Sorry, just having a got my composure from something from earlier. It was a fun match, surprising, and I'm glad I got to see Dave kick the shit out of him. Not a fan of Del Rio, even though he entertained me tonight.
Tony?
Yeah, as much of a detractor of Rey Mysterio and Del Rio that I am, this actually was one of the better matches of the night, I have to admit. I wouldn't say I go so far as to say that I really enjoyed it or anything, but it wasn't too bad, I have to admit it. I have to kind of swallow my pride. But my favorite part of the whole match by far, though, is the attack from Batista at the end, by far, because I was just like that icing on the top of like, yeah, but fuck Del Rio. Like, that was a good way to do that.
Paul, what did you think about this whole thing?
I think it was a great match. Surprising, like a lot of you guys thought. And if I have to have a secret pick for the Royal Rumble, we don't know who number two is. It might be Rey Mysterio again, and he might break his record of 62-12. It's a hope that a little wrestling fan has, and I kind of hope it happens, but if it doesn't, I'm okay with it, because Rey Mysterio is one of the best Royal Rumble competitors of all time. I thought it was a good match, and, you know, everybody loves a good Batista bomb. I mean, come on, look at me as a wrestling fan and say the Batista bomb is not one of your favorite moves. Surprisingly, he didn't sit down with it, probably because of those skinny jeans.
Yeah, indeed. Steven?
Is it just me, or does that kick look stiff as hell that he gave to Alberto Del Rio before he did that? I know they got into a little bit of a...
So we lost some people here.
Everyone gone?
Oh, I think we're back. Go ahead.
What, continue? Okay. That little confrontation with Batista and Del Rio, I thought Batista stiffed him with that kick at first. It looked kind of sharp. I was wondering if anything came of that Twitter exchange they had.
Oh, well, I'm sure Batista is just a guy who likes to kick hard.
Is everyone gone or something?
No, I'm here. Hi.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Brian Ring went quiet for a second.
Nope. I did go quiet for a second. There might have been a little bit of a hiccup with Skype. But after that, we had Big Show come out. He calls out Brock Lesnar while doing a horrid Paul Heyman impression.
I thought it was suiting for the situation and for the promo. I actually kind of liked it.
I can deal without Big Show doing impressions like that. Brock Lesnar eventually does make an appearance. He walks out, but stops before getting into the ring, turns around and leaves, does the cowardly thing. Big Show continues to taunt him, though, getting Brock Lesnar to come back out. Brock comes out, gets back into the ring, goes to tackle down Big Show. However, Big Show does not budge an inch. He decides to toss Brock Lesnar aside, very similar to how he did back on Old School Raw. Brock Lesnar just does a complete flip over into the corner. Eventually, Big Show is also able to toss Brock Lesnar over and outside of the ring. And that's our build for our Big Show-Brock Lesnar match. We're getting the big beast. Brock Lesnar finally has met his match in size and power, and how is he going to overcome it? It's almost like they're booking Brock Lesnar as the babyface. It's kind of odd.
Is there a stipulation added to it yet?
I don't believe so.
Fuck.
They are.
I hope we get a Belfast brawl.
They
are about no DQ.
They are in. What was it? Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
Where are they for the Royal Rumble? They are in Pittsburgh. Paul Heyman could pull an ECW card and make an ECW match since they're so close to Philadelphia.
Hmm. Touche. Paul, are you excited for this match either way?
I am excited for this match. I mean, yes, we've seen it before back when Lesnar was WWE champion on SmackDown. But, you know, Big Show's grown. He's a little stronger. He's a little wiser. I think we can expect the best out of these two. Hopefully it doesn't end up like Brock versus Goldberg at WrestleMania 20. Please, for the love of God, just anything but that. I really hope they put together a really good match.
Steven, are you looking forward to Brock Lesnar and Big Show?
It's nice actually having Brock go up against someone that looks like a legitimate threat to them. For the most part, you think, Brock can take, and realistically can pretty much take anyone in the WWE. Big Show's on one of those ones that actually look like a legit threat and can fuck him around. And he's the way Brock bumps for him, like with these throws and stuff, it's been awesome, except for him randomly rolling backwards when Big Show stepped on the chair. That was a bit awkward. But besides that, they're building to it pretty well, and I'm excited for what to see what they're going to do, if it's going to be kind of a brawling match, or I don't know how they're going to do it without a stipulation. Typically, Brock's normally in a gimmick match since his comeback, so it'll definitely be interesting, and as long as Brock Lesnar wins, I'm all for it.
Drew?
I'm looking forward to it to an extent. You know, I don't know how they're going to perform without a stipulation, because I was really expecting a stipulation, but it could be interesting. I just want to know when it's going to go on the card, because a part of me really hopes that they do the spot where they just do a superplex off the top ropes and just break the ring like they've already done once. And I don't know why I'm expecting that, but I really hope they do something like that, even though they probably won't because it's a Rumble, but still. Even high hopes for.
I was going to say, how are you going to throw people over the top rope? Well, I mean, if it's broken, I mean, can that just be easily fixed? Man, you know,
it'd be easier to throw them over the top rope if the top rope.
No, they'll do the TNA match where everyone's outside the ring and you got to throw people in the ring and get eliminated.
Gosh, and Tony, how do you feel about our upcoming big man match?
I'm not really that excited for it. And maybe if it were a different pay-per-view, I'd be a little bit more into it. Maybe if this was kind of like maybe SummerSlam or something. But going into the Royal Rumble and having a WWE title match, the Royal Rumble match, Daniel Bryan versus Bray Wyatt, any of that stuff is so much more important.
We had a Divas matchup tonight. It was AJ and Tamina going against the Funkadactyls. We got some weird backstage thing. Bad News Barrett's only appearance was short for AJ, who was celebrating some party about being the longest Divas champion. Good for her, I suppose. But she ends up having a complete mental meltdown with a cake. She goes to throw it in Josh Matthews' face. She ends up putting it in Tamina's. Could this possibly be some sort of tease of splitting those apart? Who knows? Who cares? Funkadactyls end up getting a roll-up pin in this. I believe it was Naomi who got it on AJ. Could be leading to a Naomi-AJ match, I guess. Once again, who cares? Does anyone have anything they want to add to that?
I like the Bad News Barrett thing they did for the cake segment, though. I thought that was interesting.
I think it's awesome that Bad News Barrett doesn't discriminate against heels or faces. He just delivers the bad news wherever it is.
You know, I've came to notice this as of recent, but the Divas title, not as good as what it was when AJ first held it, starting to not mean jack shit again. It never mentioned in the first place, but
when did it mean something?
It doesn't mean jack shit because everybody's focused on Total Divas. I mean, yeah.
Well, because Total Divas isn't on right now, and they really haven't been playing the, oh, look, it's got the Total Divas. They haven't really played that card that much since the season ended. So I just really just think it's a shame because they have so many – they have a better talent for Divas wrestlers right now than what they usually have had in the past few years. I just wish they would utilize what they have better and just use their talent better.
I don't know why they're not bringing up more Divas from NXT because they have some Divas in NXT that can –
Well, it seems
wrestle.
Like they're trying to. I mean, this is the second week that they've shown Emma in the audience.
No, they just want to appear in the crowd.
Arm thing.
No, they just want to appear in the crowd. They don't want them to wrestle. They just want to be eye candy in the crowd. That's all.
It's got to be more than that if you want the women's division to come back. I mean, the women's division in the Attitude Era with Trish Stratus, Lita, Jacqueline, China.
So, where is this thing with Emma going to go, like her just being in the audience? Didn't they do something like that before with, like, Rosa, where Rosa kept showing up with signs of Beth Phoenix, I think it was?
Yeah, sounds about right.
Maybe she'll become a dancer for Epico and Primo.
Maybe they'll get Daniel Bryan. Maybe they'll get Daniel Bryan and Kane's doctor just to fucking take her and do
Dr.
some therapy with her. Yeah,
Dr. Shelby.
I prefer Dr. Hanukkah-Burger, if you ask me.
Maybe you could teach her how to dance. That arm thing is not cool.
Carlito reference.
I can't believe you told me it is actually over in NXT. That's shocking.
It is. No, if you watch NXT, people in the audience are actually doing that dance with her. I don't get it.
They probably pay them off.
I don't know. Well, no, because an NXT audience is like a very smarky crowd too. So why they're dancing along with this stupid arm movement? I don't get it. They got to really really dig this girl or something. For the
I don't know because on occasion smarky crowds do stupid things that they think is funny. And I guess this is one of those things. I suppose
it's kind of like fandangoing, maybe.
Yeah, I was thinking about saying that.
I don't get fandangoing. What the fuck? Come on. Come on.
Fandangoing was fun until they tried to force it down our throat.
Yeah, it was fun. It wasn't really shoved down our throats. It was just one of those things that, like, people started doing. And
no, they did it, and then they tried to shove it down our throat,
yeah,
and then everyone stopped giving a fuck.
I don't think it was that. I think it was just one of those one-night things. And I think the week after, they went to, like, North Carolina or something, and it was just dead the entire night. And I think that's what really killed it. I remember
what really
like
killed
that.
It is him coming out and going, "Do you want to go fandangoing with me?"
They probably did something as well.
Oh, that was rough.
Fucking
that was
awful.
Really rough.
It fucking killed the gimmick right there.
Are you gonna fandango?
Fandango.
But that was big. I remember, like, PETA made a video of themselves fandangoing, and, like, cheerleaders were fandangoing.
Wasn't that the same week that they came out with the people fandangoing in the subway?
Yeah, or remember the Fandango Revolution where people were buying Fandango's theme song off of the iTunes store?
I did.
Yeah, they killed that gimmick because they gave him like 20 minutes on Raw between a video package and a really piss-awful promo. They tried to force it down everyone's throat, and it just didn't work.
Nope. What could have been for Fandango?
He's still got hope.
Yeah, I mean, he's still squashing Xavier Woods.
Exactly.
Yeah, it could be squashed by Xavier Woods.
Yeah, I mean, Brodus Clay was squashing Xavier Woods, and now he's a main event player.
Fandango, the next Drew McIntyre.
Oh, we killed him.
It was never the chosen one, though. He was the Fandango one.
Do you think, like, Fandango could take Heath Slater's place as the front man of three-man band?
That'd be awkward as shit. Maybe when Jinder turns face, he can replace Jinder.
And he'd just make them stars with his dance moves.
No, yeah, except three-man band, they'll become the three-man dance crew.
We're the three-man dance group.
Oh, my goodness.
Troop.
All right, so we had a tag match between the Usos and Eric Rowan and Luke Harper, the Wyatt family. Daniel Bryan ends up coming out and attacking Bray Wyatt from behind at the end of this match. The Usos win with a roll-up on Luke Harper. A lot of roll-ups tonight, as usual.
the new finisher of WWE.
So has the Wyatt family won a match this year yet?
Oh.
No. Maybe on SmackDown. I think they might have on SmackDown.
Snap, Mike. That was a dig.
I'm just observing. I'm just trying to think. Like, what is their win record overall, even?
I think Graves is pretty awful.
They were undefeated up to a time, and then they lost, like, four straight. Two to the Usos.
Woof.
I'm not sure. I honestly am not. I would like clarification on that.
I don't know. Nothing to really remark on this match, unless someone else has something they want to add.
It was the Wyatts and the Usos. I really like the push they're giving the Usos because, I mean, they deserve it. They're really good athletes. They put on exciting matches. This was more about the Usos than it was about the Wyatts because Daniel Bryan just came out and squashed that. Give them the titles. Give them the tag team titles. Honestly, they deserve it. It's been coming a long time. Give them the titles.
Man, I thought they deserved it like 3 years ago.
Right? It's been coming a long goddamn time.
As far as this match goes, I thought it was fucking awful.
Yeah, I was about to say that.
It was boring as shit.
The one thing I want to mention was that, like, when the Usos were doing their Samoan, chant they did, they panned to a kid in the crowd, and he had Usos on his thing, and he spelled Usos with a C instead of an S.
Oh!
And then they panned away from that as soon as they noticed. I thought it was funny.
Their fans are poor and stupid.
Oh, and speaking of the Usos' entrance, I remember after he did the leap and the pyro goes off, one of them was, like, on his knee, and he did this little, like, knee shuffle dance. It's kind of a little Michael Jackson-type move. Yeah, the most exciting part of this whole match was the Usos' entrance.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know, when they left for commercials during it, and then they came back, and the Usos were still in the ring dancing. Were they just in the ring dancing the whole time during the
commercials? Yeah, just shuffling side to side for, like, 5 minutes.
And then the Wyatts didn't even get an entrance. They just got the back! And then they were there.
That's all they need, isn't it? Back.
So, you know, when the road agent's putting the match together in the back, so he's like, all right, so what's going to happen is, back, and then you go and get in the ring.
But then they're going to have to figure out a way to do a dance to it.
Okay, so you put on the sheep mask, and then back.
All right, so our main event of the evening surprisingly featured Kofi Kingston, and he was going up against Randy Orton. Rematch from, what was it, last week, I guess it was, where Kofi Kingston got the victory. However, this ended in a no contest, which means Kofi Kingston deserves another match against Randy Orton.
For the WWE title.
Since Cena attacked Orton, wouldn't that make it a disqualification win for
Orton? Yeah, Kofi Kingston lost. I'm sorry.
I never heard the bell ring.
I did.
It rang.
Okay, well, whatever. It wasn't a real decision.
Trying to rob Orton of his legitimate win there.
They kept panning the camera to this one. They said it was the only entrance in or out of the arena. I got that on stage. Does that mean all the fans came in that way, too?
Yeah, and it's the fact that they go up the aisle and exit out another way in a brawl.
Isn't this a serious fire code?
They're coming through the loading bay.
So that's how Emma keeps popping up into the crowd.
But John Cena runs his way through there. Like, most people you think would come in through a car. No, John Cena, they just randomly show him, and he's just running like and he's in a marathon, full speed, in through the loading dock.
Oh, that's why you only got to the show, like, at the last hour.
Yeah, what was that whole speech John Cena used to say, like, he's the first one there and the last one to leave?
I thought,
up at 10:57.
Yeah, I thought he was meant to get to the venue like 5 hours early. What the fuck, Cena? Special privileges.
Did anybody else just assume that when Cena came out, he would be holding that American, that Olympian torch, and then Jericho would clothesline him? And then it would just be a big swerve.
Shit, it'd be a lot more entertaining than this fucking segment was. God damn, that ball was piss poor.
And he was in gear, so I mean, he was just like walking around all day in gear.
In his jorts. He was in his jorts the entire day.
Well, he had to be because he didn't get a ride there, so he had to run and he had to get changed ahead of time.
And yet he wasn't sweaty at all. He wasn't sweaty at all. Running that whole time.
Jumps, you know?
Exactly.
Well, I wonder what post-match they got on the show. If he's in wrestling gear, I imagine he wrestled someone after they Rowan off air.
Probably Ryback.
Probably Ryback, yeah.
Okay, so John Cena comes out interrupting the match. He ends up beating Randy Orton all the way up through the crowd, all the way to the front entrance. Oh, I guess there is another entrance in and out of the arena. Huh.
No.
Who'd have thought?
No.
Randy Orton, they said, just steals somebody's car and drives off with it, which is just awesome. Randy Orton's a thief.
You'd laugh if like, you just stood there like shuffling around for a gun and robbed him GTA style.
He pulled a Sheamus and stole Del Rio's car. That's what he did.
So who just left their keys sitting in their car in front of the building like that?
Del Rio.
Or is Randy Orton just really baller at hot wiring?
He got
in the
passenger side and he jacked the driver. He held the driver at Randy RKO point.
That's shitting in the bag point.
Shitting in the bag point and said, fucking driver, I'm going to shit in your purse.
He pulled down his pants like, you take this car off now or I'm shitting your glove compartment.
Incidentally, the whole thing I was thinking the whole time was, remember when Kofi Kingston almost had a WWE championship match?
No.
Like, that's the whole time John Cena was brawling with Randy Orton. That's the only thing I could think of. The brawl wasn't that interesting. I was just like, when's the last time they did Kofi Kingston up against Randy Orton and gave him a title shot?
Yeah, that was when Kofi Kingston destroyed his NASCAR.
Exactly, right? Yeah, he was
That's why Orton needed a ride tonight. He doesn't have a car anymore.
Yeah, every time he gets a car, he gets messed up, man. He got that that NASCAR, got destroyed. He got that SUV, got all freaking spray painted. Who did that again?
Daniel Bryan.
That's right, because he called the Escalade.
That was clever.
Anything anybody want to add to this final segment?
I give it a 4 out of 10.
I like kittens.
It would have been better if Batista came out and brawled with
Logan. When John Cena was like walking back in the building, I was hoping Batista would be waiting for him there in like the entrance lobby.
Boom! Clothesline.
Yeah, nobody's safe from Batista.
Yeah, no, I really wish that he would have done the thumbs up, thumbs down when he was out there with WO earlier in the night, like he used to do back in the good old days. No, he just was just like, fuck it, just go straight in. I'm talking about before he even brawled with him. He just stared him down and just gave him a spine buster.
Well, yeah, but right before he was about to Batista bomb him, he did a thumbs up and then he did the thumbs down.
Yeah, but he's like, No, he did it, and then, like, the look on his face was just like, I gotta do this shit again? Fuck, why'd I sign that contract?
Okay, I see what you're talking about.
So, how long is Batista gonna be around?
5 months.
6 months.
That's about right.
2 days.
Oh, snap.
Two appearances, this one in the Rumble, then he's gonna, no, three. Then he's gonna show up on the Raw after in a wheelchair and just like, I quit. Again.
You know what? He might end up in a wheelchair. How often he gets fucking injured? It wouldn't be surprised if he lasts a week.
He's going to end up in a wheelchair and then go to UFC.
No, he's going to go to TNA.
Oh!
Who?
Oh, what?
I'm just hoping he doesn't use his MMA nickname, because his MMA nickname is fucking atrocious. Brass Body Batista.
This guy...
That's worse than Deacon Batista. And I thought Deacon Batista was bad.
So, speaking of TNA, there's going to be the Thursday Night Wars, as NXT will be airing live on the WWE Network at the very same time as NXT. So now TNA is going to have to try to contend with the Farm League. And they're probably not even going to be able to do that.
I don't know. I saw them fill out a whole half of a high school gym. I mean, they're drawing big numbers.
You know what? I will say, if TNA has a shot to beat anybody's ratings, it's now. And it's only now. So they better take advantage of it. Because Lord knows. Oh, God. I don't even know how anybody pays attention to TNA.
Well, maybe the new investor will draw them some ratings.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Is it Jay-Z?
I bet it's JBL.
Maybe it's Dylan.
Goodness gracious.
Where's lunch?
All right, guys. We're going to go around. We're going to do our high point, low point. Drew, your high point, low point for tonight's show.
I want to start with low point. Low point would have been the Usos match. That one was sporting the hell out of me the entire time. My high point would have been the Daniel Bryan promo. I thought that was very clever. I thought it was cool. Like, while Bray was doing his thing on the screen, like, you could hear the... He was chanted by the fans. I thought that was pretty cool, so I'm going to give that my high point for the night.
Paul?
I'm going to have to agree with Drew on the high point. I thought the Daniel Bryan promo was the best part of the night. He's gotten better on the mic, I have to admit that. He is learning, and he is thriving. So kudos to Daniel Bryan on his promo tonight. I thought the low point was the Divas match. We all saw Josh Matthews duck too early for that cake in the face. I mean, everybody's just wanting Total Divas to come back to E. Nobody cares about the Divas division in the actual WWE. Everybody just wants to see the drama. Let's just admit it. And that was a low point of Raw tonight.
Steven?
The high point is probably the Daniel Bryan and Bray Wyatt promo. I thought that was really well done, so I definitely agree with Drew and Paul on that. Not just Daniel Bryan's mic skills, but definitely Bray's. I mean, the whole traitor thing, it really worked well. He's just got such delivery. I don't know if that was recorded or if it was done live, but either way, it was done very well. As far as my low point goes, fucking Emma's dancing. Jesus Christ. Fucking, yeah, I've seen a one-legged Brazilian with more rhythm.
Tony?
My high point and low point are actually the same exact thing. It's equally what the hell and, oh my God, that's so stupid, it's funny, and I really enjoyed it. And that's at the very end when John Cena was leaving and trying to find Randy Orton outside, there's literally a security guard or something that is just standing there holding the door open for John Cena before he gets out to that section. So it's kind of like the guy's just like, hey, by the way, Randy Orton went this way, dude. Here you go. I'll hold it open for you. That's my job. And Cena just walked right by him. And it's like, it's just so stupid and obvious that it's planned and everything. Outside of the fact that obviously they've already sectioned off the fans and it's like he could have only gone the one way. He couldn't have gone through the fans or anything like that. But just that extra bit of, like, here's the door, walk out this way, Mr. Cena. Like, just ridiculous.
Mr. Cena. All right, well, that's going to wrap us up here for the Raw post-show here on Mega Powers Radio. We'll go around one last time, let everyone let you know what's going on in their universes and where you can find them on the social media places. Paul, tell everyone what's cool.
Hey guys, I am actually off this weekend, but next weekend, Saturday, January the 31st, I will be at the Shack and Black Earth DJing my heart out. So come on down if you're in the area. I'm always glad to be here on Mega Powers Radio. Thank you guys for having me.
Oh, we're always glad to have you, Paul. Drew?
Nothing of major importance. This is another day in the life of Drew White, and that's it.
Steven?
For me, you can check me out over on facebook.com/UDMMA for all the unanimous decision news. We recently just left our live format. We're going to a recorded one due to time constraints. Also, check out Addicted to Anime. That is going to be happening on, and let me just check the day, February, last Sunday of it.
Oh, Miguel, come on.
That's going to be happening on the 23rd of February. We're going to be covering Full Metal Alchemist. You can check that out on Mega Powers Radio. Check out facebook.com/addictedanimefans for all your news and just enjoy the community. It's growing, man.
What about the kittens?
And like for kittens.
Tony.
As mentioned before, smarkoutmoment.com is my wrestling website, and my podcast is Smack Talk, which you can find on YouTube and iTunes and Stitcher. I'll try to figure out what's going on with my microphone for this week. I don't know what's going on, so I hopefully won't sound like I'm a muffled mess when it comes to Friday and we start talking about our Royal Rumble predictions. We're going to try to knock out all the entrances, the Iron Man, the winner, the most eliminations, and who gets eliminated the fastest. So a lot of stuff coming with Smack Talk. Also, check out Bleacher Report, a bunch of articles I'll be writing this week, and that's about it for me.
All right, folks, we really appreciate y'all listening in here to the NPR Raw Post Show here on Mega Powers Radio. We're here every week after Raw goes off the air, and that's going to continue even after the WWE Network launches. It's going to be the late night Monday Night Wars. I can't push that every week. I'm just going to make that joke once. But, yeah, if you enjoy listening to us, be sure to tune in every week here at MegaPowersRadio.com. If you can't join us live, we know it's late and sometimes you can't stay up. You can always listen to the archive versions on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. You can also find it on YouTube on the official Mega Powers Radio YouTube channel and, of course, on SmarkOutMoment.com where you'll find the full list of notes and everything that goes along with the show. And, of course, support everything that goes along with the show by liking us on Facebook, facebook.com/RawPostShow. And now we're finally on the Twitterverse at RawPostShow. Yeah, we registered that before WWE got a chance. That's right, at RawPostShow. Please go ahead and give us a follow so we can start getting that built up there. It's a brand new, fresh page. So be one of the first to follow us on there. Thank you all for listening. Thank you to Paul Hibbard, Drew White, Steven Huego, and Tony Mango. This is the Raw Post Show here on Mega Powers Radio. We'll see y'all next week.